From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And this is Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the podcast of freaking champions, talking all things Big Ten football. Yeah, I teased you a little bit saying we weren't going to do a preview show this week because there's no good games. There's a shit ton of good games, and we got to preview them and make our picks against the spread. I'm fired up. Just came off my USC show.
Hey, why aren't we recording tomorrow, Ryan?
I'm going fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going fishing.
Yeah.
Because I do.
Normal midweek activity for somebody who's employed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going fishing.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Does this count as a trip?
No, it's a day. It's like for a few hours. Like I'm just going out.
Yeah.
But you got out.
Are you a fisherman? Is that your day job?
I'm a fisherman. No.
Oh.
No.
Interesting.
I enjoy fishing.
Just something you're doing during the middle of the day when other people are working?
Their
real jobs?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not digging ditches. Mm-hmm. I'm here talking to you, but whatever.
Is this better or worse? Who knows?
I'm not sure. We were singing Piano Man before
we
went live.
We were going to cold open the show with us singing Piano Man. But
it could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob at the bar is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
He gets me my drinks for free.
And he's talking with Davey.
No,
he's still in the Navy.
He's quick with a joke or light up
whatever,
your smoke.
Whatever, man. Don't worry about it. You know?
The bartender is quick with a joke, and he'll light up your smoke.
But his name isn't Bob, is it?
Bob at the bar is a friend of mine.
No, it's John at the bar is a friend of mine.
Whatever.
See, you fucked me up.
Okay.
It's not my fault.
I give
it's
you the wrong
fault.
Name. That's what you remember?
Bob at the bar?
Or whatever.
What does that sound like?
He's a friend of his.
Is that assonance or consonance? Which one is it? You tell me.
Sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
We got a fun show for you today. Obviously, we're singing Piano Man to start things off. A lot of great games, like I mentioned.
And some bad ones.
And some bad
UCLA
ones.
Still playing.
Yeah. But they're, no, that could be good. We'll see.
I think whatever way that game goes, it's going to be one of the most unwatchable slop fests you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. But maybe we'll get a little more definition in the middle of the crazy conference that we call the Big Ten. We'll do all that. We have not a lot of questions. If you want to send us a question, you can do that. Big10cast@gmail.com. Or you can call or text us at 424-532-0678. Tweet us at B1G Podcast. Or if you have the Apple Podcasting app, you can rate us over there. 5-star rating is awesome. And, you know, give us a follow. You're one of the Podcast of Champions. Big show, obviously huge. We've been experts in the Big Ten Conference for decades now. Get it and follow in there and leave us a review. And if you do so, and it's a good 5-star review, we will read it on the recap show. And the best one, we will send you a $17 gift card to Trader Joe's because UCLA scored 17 points against LSU.
That's right, baby. We haven't, so just so everyone knows, I'm not going to read them today, but we haven't gotten a new one. So if you want to angle for a $17 gift card, this might be the weekend to do it. Now, I will say we record on Mondays, but it often takes 2 days for the review to percolate out to the front page of the reviews. So if you want to put in a chance to win a $17 gift card, get your 5-star review in now.
And if we get no reviews, I'm going to give one away on my Peristyle podcast, and Dave will do a bro one. So you're going to lose two cards off the bat.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be gone. We'll actually just take them.
Well, maybe,
John and Bray is fine with that, right?
I'm sure. No, I don't think so. I think we're going to give them away. We'll just give them away on another show if you don't want to leave us a review.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, I forget. I think he sent me like 18. I forget the number. There was a reason. The $17, they're usually like the small gift cards are like $8. But he decided, well, we'll see. We'll just do it whatever UCLA. I think the minimum was 8, but how many points does UCLA score on LSU? But we bumped it up to 17. So we had to make 7. I don't know if it was a pain for him to make like 18, $17 gift cards, but
I mean, he wasn't doing it himself.
And I just sent out the first batch. So if you won and you emailed me your info, there is a gift card in the snail mail for you.
Beautiful.
Yes.
John and Brea, generous man.
That was great. So I sent the, I was the whole time I'm like, put it, you don't have to lick stamps anymore, but they're sticker stamps. But I have my little address, you know, for your charity things, they give you like address labels. Dave probably doesn't have it, but I have them in my junk drawer. Put the address label on, put the stamp on, write a little handwritten note on a piece of paper, fold it up, put it in an envelope. I'm like, the whole time I'm doing that, I'm like, David would never do any of this. He wouldn't even cash a check that was sent to him.
Yeah.
That you could do on your phone.
I actually lost it. I don't know where it is. True story.
That's pretty freaking awesome. Okay, well, we only have 7 games this week to go over. Do you know off the top of your head who's on a bye? I wrote it down.
No.
Okay. Indiana.
Indiana. Yeah. I knew that one because they're my Hoosiers.
They're going to stay undefeated. They're going to stay bowl eligible. Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Michigan. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska.
All right.
Nebraska, they're all on byes. We're going to do our picks against the spread. David had pointed out that maybe the odds makers are figuring some of these things out. Maybe they're figuring out Indiana. We'll see next week. Figuring out Purdue a little bit. We'll get into all that stuff. But we have one Friday game, right?
One Friday game and 6 Saturday football contests.
Okay. So first Friday, let's go to the Friday game. We have
Northwestern Wildcats.
And they're taking a team on the road that was on a bye. We have
Maryland Terrapins.
All right. So this is 5 p.m. on Big Fox on Friday. Northwestern traveling to Maryland. Northwestern is 2-3, 0-2 in the Big Ten. Maryland is 3-2, but also 0-2 in the Big Ten. Maryland doesn't feel like an 0-2 team. Northwestern feels like an 0-9 team. Maryland is an 11-point favorite in this game. So if we look at what Northwestern has done this year, at home, they've been pretty decent. They beat Miami of Ohio. Pretty decent. I mean, they don't look like the worst team in football. Miami of Ohio, they beat 13-6. They played Duke into overtime, if I'm remembering that one correctly.
They
lost 26-20, but they played them into overtime. They beat the FCS opponent at home. And then last week against Indiana, competitive game into the fourth quarter. Like it wasn't a blowout by any means.
But then they covered the spread. But
Indiana covered. But on the road, the last time they went on the road, it was to Washington. And how many points did they score in that game, Ryan?
I think they, like the Dodgers last night, I think they scored 5.
Both of my daughters are older, yes, than that number. They're 5.
I knew that off the top of my head. Yeah, is that good?
They scored 5 total points, one of which I believe was a safety of sorts.
That's to get to 5, yes.
Yes. I mean, it wasn't a couple of returned extra points or whatever.
I was not sure where. Yeah. Yes, it was a safety.
Yes. Too. I don't know, man. Who knows how things are scored in football these days? So we've only got a little bit of information, but the one time they went on the road, they got their asses kicked. I think Maryland is a good-ish team. Like, I don't think they're great, but I do think they're good-ish. I think they might kill them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Maryland minus the 11. I don't think Northwestern's any good, and I don't think they're any good away from that weird stadium on the lake.
Yeah, I feel like that you see some of the photos from the game with Indiana, and you're like, oh, my God, it's like a high school kind of deal. Indiana played with its food a little bit. Maryland, it's hard to get a grasp of, but I just feel like they're a much better. If you play your average game, I think Maryland's significantly better than Northwestern.
All right, we've got a great question in the chat. Don't look at a map.
All right, hold on. I already queued one up. Kyle says, "Will your Dodgers force a game 5?" They're not my Dodgers. Like,
who gives a shit?
I don't know, but I just wanted to like point that out there. I'm not a big Dodgers fan. You were more of a Angels fan, right?
I was an Angels fan way back in the day.
But like I'm fine with them. I'm more of a Pirates fan, but they're terrible. Okay.
I haven't intentionally watched a baseball game that I'm not attending in many, 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 many years.
I watched like the Dodgers last night. That was crazy second inning or whatever. Third. Okay, which one? From Matthew?
Matthew, why are you giving us the answer?
I won't look at the answer.
No, he already gave it. Well, I was going to play the game, but now it's not fun.
Oh.
So it was, where does Northwestern rank in the Big Ten further west and further north rankings?
Oh. Okay.
So obviously all 4 West Coast are further west.
Yes.
Nebraska's further west. Iowa's further west.
Yes.
Wisconsin?
I think like Wisconsin, Minnesota are probably further west. No, I don't know. Should we put up?
Yeah, Wisconsin and Minnesota are both further west. And then anybody else? If they're in Chicago.
Illinois
is further west. Okay. All right. So they're 10th west.
Is that right? Okay. We got that right.
Yeah. And then
I'll put the answer up.
Both Michigans are further north.
Yeah. I would say Michigan,
Wisconsin's further north. Minnesota's further north. Washington and Oregon further north.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. So that would be seventh.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Yeah. Okay.
It's not as fun when you give us the answers, Matthew.
I kind of felt like the map I saw showed Illinois further west is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So about this game. Yeah. I'm going to take Maryland also. I just feel like this is, I love what Northwestern did last year. Just not seeing much of it this year. This seems like what you would have thought when you had like an interim coach just take over. This looks more like that than what last year there were they rallying around and everything. Just not seeing it. It's a tougher conference now. And I'm just not seeing that kind of juice from Northwestern. Maryland's about, you know, Maryland lost a lot from last year, but they've looked like more than a pulse in a lot of places. This is one of those situations where you just feel like they're going to take care of this business at home.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, next up we have
Washington Huskies.
They're going on the road to take on
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Gets me fired up every time.
9 a.m. on Big 9 a.m. on Big Fox. Washington 4-2. The two losses largely because of piano insertion into Jed Fish's brain. Going on the road to take on 3-2 Iowa. The two losses because Kirk Ferentz. Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite. I think Washington is a better and more balanced team. I can't rule out the possibility that a piano will fall on Jed Fish's head again, though. Yeah. And it coming on the road, I'm just kind of leery. But we did just watch Iowa get absolutely trounced by Ohio State. And like, I'm not saying Washington is anywhere close to Ohio State, but their analytics still love them. Like, they love that team. Like, they're like a top 15 team in a lot of like systems. I'm taking Washington.
Wow. I thought you'd take Iowa. Okay.
I'm taking Washington. They look like they're maybe getting a little bit better. Maybe Jed Fish had emergency brain surgery to fix the piano problem. And Iowa, I don't trust Kirk Ferentz at all. And frankly, like if they win this game, it could be by one. You don't know.
That's true.
You don't know the way Iowa operates.
That would be the greatest cover ever.
Yeah. So I'm taking Washington.
Or by two, potentially. Yeah. I'm taking Washington also. I kind of thought you'd go towards Iowa. I feel like this is going to be, we already know that the teams are 1-8 traveling two or more time zones. I feel like this is a situation this week that trend gets bucked a little bit.
Yeah.
There are some bad teams that have traveled, but you know, Washington lost at Rutgers. I think Iowa's better than Rutgers. Why do I think they're going to beat Iowa? I kind of think they will. I got some stats that from our friends, some of the friends on the Twitters and stuff. Jonah Coleman leads the nation with the most 10-yard plays from scrimmage. He has 31 of them, including 10 rushing attempts. I mean, sorry, 24 10-yard rushes. So he's kind of an explosive play guy. And we've seen Iowa give up some explosive plays this year, where maybe not as many before. But it's funny, if I was going to say which defense does this sound like, this defense leads the nation in opponent completion percentage, 46.7%, pass efficiency rating, 85.31, and yards per pass attempt, only 4.5. Third in pass yards allowed per game, 125.5, and 10th in opponent touchdown passes with 3. Would you think that's Iowa? Or would you think that's Washington?
I mean, traditionally, you would think it was Iowa.
It's Washington.
Exactly. And this is what's crazy about Washington is it's insane that they have two losses. Because if you look at just success rates, which is, you know, success rate, very easily defined. It's getting 50% of yardage on first down, 70% of yardage on second down, or all the yardage on third or fourth down. They are a top 25 in both offensive and defensive success rate. Offensive, they're top 10. Defensive, they're top 25. Iowa's dog crap in both. Like, Iowa is 70-something in offensive success rate and 62nd in defensive success rate. Not a good team.
No, kind of winning
through smoke and mirrors. Washington, probably a better team, losing because their head coach has brain damage. So I'm going to roll with the team that is like statistically performing better. Now, Iowa is where math and science goes to die. Like when you're playing Kirk Ferentz, it's where, you know, oh, we're just going to punt. We're actually just going to punt on first down and it's going to be fine and we're going to win. But I'm going to roll with the numbers here and go Washington.
I'm going to agree with you. Yes, for sure. And yeah, one of my fantasy teams is called Punting on First Down. I think it's inspired by Iowa. Kyle says Washington's leaving Thursday afternoon to Iowa. And I know USC and UCLA both were leaving on Fridays. That hasn't gone well. We'll see if leaving on Thursday. I don't know if Washington left on Thursday for the Rutgers game. Kyle, if you know that, that'd be cool. But, you know, and we'll come up with the Penn State game. I know Penn State's leaving on Thursday. There's going to be some debate on what you should be doing. Maybe we'll get the numbers at the end, like teams that left on Thursday had this record traveling long distance, teams that left on Friday had this record, teams that went east, teams that went west, whatever. We'll get some data on all of that, and it'll be interesting to kind of see. And Cameron has a good point. Aren't you worried that Washington can't kick field goals? Oops, sorry. Put the wrong one up there. Yeah, they've been really bad at that. But I just feel like they're a better team. Mm-hmm. But like David said, all that better stuff goes to Iowa to die. Unless you're Ohio State and you just can out-athlete.
But you know where they didn't do that? They didn't do that in Iowa. In Iowa, I'm fully convinced that Ohio State would have been in like a 17-13 bloodbath.
I don't think so.
You're right. It would have been more like 17-16.
Maybe 17-3. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew says, Washington has only won at home. The Washington State game was elsewhere. The overhang is protecting Jed from falling pianos.
That's a great point.
That is a very good point.
Open bowls are not kind to him.
Maybe like the scaffolding and shit, that this, you know, you need that stuff to kind of protect them from those pianos from following. Kyle said Washington left Thursday to Rutgers, but it was for a Friday game. Uh-huh.
You love this logistics stuff. Do you know this guy was texting me about like, did UCLA fly direct into State College or did they fly into Harrisburg and bus there? I don't know, man. So yeah. I text the SID. I'm like, did you guys fly direct? And he's like, yeah. I don't know what your deal is. You love logistics.
Okay, because I actually love logistics.
I was
writing some stuff in the war room. So I know this for Penn State, and I talked to their insiders. UCLA flew direct.
No, this wasn't an invitation to talk about this.
We're going to now. Do you know back, remember the Cade McNown game, like back that Miami game? They flew out like the day before. Like UCLA needs to take this more seriously. But for Penn State, they're driving or busing to Harrisburg, and then they're going to fly because they want a bigger plane. So it's not only what day do you leave, how big of a plane. If you want to get to Penn State from LA, you have to take a smaller plane. A 787 won't go on their runway. So the UCLA players were cramped in that thing as opposed to, do you want to take an hour and 45-minute bus ride and then fly a bigger plane? So all these logistics come into play, how you get there.
You know, when I lived in Atlanta, I would call my parents, you know, a couple times a week. And when I would call, I would often get my dad. And my dad was not a phone conversationalist. And so what I often ended up having to talk to him about was gardening. And I don't know anything about gardening. I don't care about gardening at all. And that's what this felt like to me. It was me listening to you talk about gardening.
Matthew says, any spring practice reports to rehash? Yeah, we could go over that a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, but we will both take Washington in this one.
Yeah.
All right, next up we've got
Wisconsin Badgers.
They are on the road at
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knights.
I can't hear Scarlet Knights now without hearing Shane's wife's voice.
Yeah. Does she have a name? Do we have...
No. We're just going with Shane's wife. That is what we are rolling with.
Kevin says logistics matter. They kind of do, because I take them into consideration and I'm killing you in the picks. So maybe you should pay attention to logistics a little more.
Please stop.
Okay.
Please stop logistics. All right. Wisconsin traveling to Rutgers, 9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network. Wisconsin 3-2, 1-1 in the Big Ten. Rutgers 4-1, 1-1 in the Big Ten. Rutgers is a 2.5-point favorite, which feels completely right. These feel like very, very, I don't want to say fully similar teams, but they're about equal. Like when you look at, again, those success rate statistics, they're only 10 spots away from each other in both. Pretty even. Wisconsin found something, I think, a little bit at quarterback last week, whereas Rutgers looked like it found a world of hurt on the road at Nebraska. I think Greg Schiano is a really good coach, though. This is one I'm really torn on because I think they could cover the 3, but I could also see Wisconsin going in there and winning. They were close against USC. Like, I think what gets lost in the final score of that game is that they were up by 11 heading into halftime.
Yeah.
And they just kind of fell apart in the second half. I think they didn't maybe have enough in the game plan offensively because suddenly they were just getting shut down left and right. Rutgers hasn't been great defensively this year. Ethan Kalikmanis looked a lot more like Minnesota version of himself last week. So just kind of riding a little bit of the momentum here, I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
This is bad when we agree, but I like Wisconsin better. They've looked better than what I thought the beginning of the season, even like you mentioned in the USC game, to come out and they had some explosive plays in the first half and then just sort of like kind of got shut down. Maybe Kyle Monongai runs all over him. It was a little disappointing to see Nebraska kind of shut him down. I think it's going to be a different story playing, in New Jersey as opposed to playing at Nebraska.
And Wisconsin's not as good defensively.
They're not. They can do some things, but I just kind of feel like Wisconsin's going to get this road win here and build a little momentum from what they did last week. That was Purdue and it was at home. Could you see Rutgers just punch him in the mouth and like Wisconsin looks pretty crappy again? Yeah, that could happen. But I don't know. Just my gut is like, I think Wisconsin can go in there and get a win.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't think, I think they'll be able to run the ball and control the game on the ground. I mean, Rutgers' run defense has been pretty bad this year.
Yeah.
So Rutgers has been far different than what I was expecting. Like their offense is better than it was last year, but their defense has taken a major step back.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just not as good on that side of the ball.
Yeah. But,
JB says, my 82-year-old dad goes on and on about his yard and he knows.
What is this? Like, yeah, my dad was doing this for like the last like 5 years of his life. He was never like a gardener. Like, I don't know what this was.
Did I tell you about my lime and lemon tree I planted?
Oh, God.
I actually did.
Yeah, I bet you want to talk about it, don't you?
I could. I found out this morning because my limes, I had a couple turn yellow and they like fell. But they're actually, that's like, they're ripe. So for some trees, that's the thing. So anyone that does lime and lemon trees, let me know.
I have a lemon tree.
Do you? Do you harvest lemons?
Occasionally.
Bring some into the damn studio. I make margaritas and stuff.
With lemons?
Well, I put a little lemon, but a lot of limes. Okay. That's what my lime tree's for. It's going to be a margarita tree, hopefully. Okay, next one. We got a big one here.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
They're traveling a couple time zones, going to Los Angeles to take on
USC Trojans.
12:30 p.m. on CBS. Number 4 Penn State, undefeated 5-0, 2-0 in the Big Ten. On the road at USC, 3-2, 1-2 in the Big Ten. Penn State is a 5.5-point road favorite. My theory of the case last week is that Penn State was treating UCLA like an FCS game. I see no reason to walk away from that. I think they're going to bring in a lot more into the game plan. Going against the USC defense that's been pretty good. And I'm very concerned for the health, safety, and well-being of Miller Moss. Those defensive ends for Penn State are absolutely no joke. Yeah. They will abuse USC's tackles. And if Lincoln Riley doesn't have a whole shitload of quick game weirdness planned in his passing attack, it's going to be a lot of blows on Miller Moss. The path for success here for USC is very simple. They have to be just a whole lot better on offense. I think defensively, they might be able to do more or less what UCLA did to a Penn State team that was playing at like an FCS game last week, hold them into the mid-20s, something like that. But scoring in the mid-20s on Penn State is going to require a lot of offensive magic, and I haven't really seen that many signs of it this year. Outside of Utah State, this offense has been, I don't want to go so far as to say pedestrian, but it hasn't been great, and it hasn't been Lincoln Riley style. So I'm going to take Penn State here. I think they're just a better, more balanced team, and I think whatever is ailing USC, it may get fixed by the end of the year. I don't know, but I think it's still in the midst of like severely ailing them. And maybe Lincoln Riley figures it out, or maybe he continues to whine in the media about weird bullshit. Who knows?
Cameron says, I'm very worried about USC's offensive line. Seems like a nightmare matchup. I think that's where you got to go with this one. Penn State's pass rush. I think Michigan's defensive line that USC faced was bigger, but this is a quicker defensive line. Minnesota was getting home with rushing three guys at times. They had a lot of success running the ball against Minnesota. They kind of got away from it. I think they're going to probably have to try that against Penn State. But
there's a world of difference between these two rush defenses.
Yes.
I've looked at Minnesota, and they're not – you should be able to run the ball against them. But Penn State, it's different.
Yeah. No, I'm taking Penn State, laying the 5.5 for sure. I think I'm 3-2 picking USC, but I've picked them to cover every week. They've covered three, and the two road games they lost, both of them as favorites. They're not a favorite in this one, but and I know the travel thing, but I feel like
– And Wisconsin was the most insane backdoor cover of all time.
It was a very insane backdoor cover. Like, they are lucky to have covered that one. So I'm going to get off of the train of just – they're not – look like it doesn't look like a team that's going in the right direction. I mean, talking about being two plays away from 5-0, I just don't think that's the direction you want to go here. I know you had a stat about James Franklin.
Yeah, James Franklin the last couple of years is 0-4 against Ohio State and Michigan, and 25-0 against everyone else.
Yeah, so they didn't have everyone else, kind of like USC and Oregon and stuff, in the conference then. This could have been a top 10 matchup if USC took care of business against Minnesota. They did not, but I don't see USC rebounding from that Minnesota loss.
How about the revenge of Luka? That's this season. Like, Luka just delivering body blows in post-practice scrums. Lincoln Riley says, you know, we're so close. We're only two plays away. And Luka goes in there and says, yeah, but Lincoln, you were saying that same shit last year. What you got now, big boy? And Lincoln had nothing. You could see him almost get poleaxed by that question. It was beautiful.
I think Riley was trying to make the point that they weren't, like, you have to first be in the game and then you have to win it. And they weren't in the game
as much
last year.
Thanks for that super genius Lincoln Riley. You have to be close to score more than the other team? Shit, man.
Because you were getting kind of beat badly the end of last year, and now you were at least.
Yeah, close. But I remember him saying that close stuff at the beginning of last year.
Yes.
When the losses were still kind of close.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Penn State and this is the matchup. I mean, anything can happen. It's college football. We saw Vanderbilt beat Alabama. So, like, if USC beats them, I'm not going to be shocked. But I kind of just feel the way things are trending right now. I'm going to take Penn State in this one. I think they're a pretty good team. They haven't had to show much last week. They didn't cover, so that kind of made me mad. But I think they're going to cover this week.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. Let's go.
We're agreeing too much.
We are agreeing way too much. I'm going to switch all of mine.
Yeah, please do.
Next up, we got
Purdue Boilermakers.
Another chance to make their place, make their case to be the number 8 team in the Big Ten. We'll see. David's not going to allow it, but they're going to take on a ranked team in
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
12:30 p.m. on FS1. Purdue 1-4, 0-2 in the Big Ten, traveling to number 23 Illinois, 4-1, 1-1 in the Big Ten, and had a bye last week after giving them an opportunity to, I think, lick their wounds after their road trip to Penn State. Illinois is a 19-point favorite in Champaign. Obviously, I'm taking Illinois because Purdue is hot dog shit. I don't think Illinois is dog shit. In fact, I think they're quite good. I think they will be able to do much of what they want to do against Purdue, which, again, is not good. And Illinois' defensive front should be able to shut down Hudson Card. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a shutout.
Yeah. Purdue lost 52-6.
Correct.
Last week.
Very correct.
19 is a lot of points.
19 is a lot of points.
It's not enough.
Not enough. What would it need to be for you to take Purdue here? 29?
No, I think if it was in the higher 20s, I would go.
Yeah.
Just because it's like...
Just because the same reason that we should have taken Penn State last week.
Yeah, like, are you really going to do... Is Illinois...
Because you know it's not a game, so you're just going to play it like it's an FCS game.
Illinois is coming off a bye, though, so, like, you don't...
They're going to want to... They're going to want to, like, really let it air out. They're going to want to get their, you know, juices flowing again. So I think they'll keep the starters in till midway through the fourth quarter, win this one by, like, 35.
Who does it... Do you know who Illinois has next week? Do you have it off the top of your head?
No, I don't. I can pull it up, though, real quick.
Yeah, pull it up. I want to see. Maybe the...
All right, after Purdue, they've got Michigan at home.
Could be a look ahead.
Could be, but I think also they just had a bye week, so they've been prepping for Purdue. They've probably been like,
maybe they're prepping for Michigan, and just like Purdue is like in the way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be. They're still covering.
That would be a concern. Yeah, I think they're going to cover this one.
Yeah.
This one I feel good about. I mean, both of us, obviously, it was only like 14 last week, right?
Yeah.
Like, was it 14 points for the, it was a 14-point spread. So both of us obviously went with Wisconsin, I assume, last week, right? Like, no one would have said Purdue on the road at Camp Randall with 14 points. Yeah, that feels great.
I don't remember what you're talking about.
Oh. You took Purdue.
Look.
Wow. Okay.
Look.
And that was only 14. Yes. But they didn't come close to covering, and I think Illinois is better than Wisconsin. So, yeah. Let's go Illini. All right. Do we really need to talk about this one? I don't know. Okay, I guess we'll do it. We have
the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Who are they playing? Scrappy underdog?
Is this game week two? Why is there number two next to... Oh, they're number two in the country. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
And then week three... Oh, no. This is the number three team in the country.
Oh, wow.
Oregon Ducks.
Seems like a big deal.
It does seem like a big deal. All right, this game is at 4:30 p.m. on NBC. Number two, Ohio State, undefeated, 2-0 in the Big Ten, on the road in Eugene against number three, Oregon, 5-0, 2-0 in the Big Ten. Ohio State's a 3-point road favorite. All right,
I'm curious about you on this one.
I'm taking Ohio State.
Oh,
first off.
Wait, okay.
Okay,
I'm going to do that.
I'm going to start with that, but I do want to throw in some caveats.
You already said that Oregon was going to beat them and all this stuff. Uh-huh. I had Ohio State undefeated from the very beginning.
All right, I'm going to throw in some caveats.
Okay.
There is a chance that Oregon has been a little bit rope and a dope this year. Like that offense, we joked about it being like very, very, low depth of target, like all that kind of stuff last year with Bo Nix. But it seems even more so this year, like hyper efficiency, but lack of explosion. Their run game finally showed some signs of explosion last week. I think there's something there that's starting to grow a little bit. They've looked a lot better than they looked in the first couple of games of the season, which is weighing things down a little bit. I'm just a little concerned that Ohio State's a monster. And I think defensively, Ohio State is going to give Oregon some trouble. And then Oregon's rush defense, if I'm picking out a thing in this game that's maybe a little bit weaker than the other parts of the game, it's probably Oregon's rush defense. And that is a bad thing to have weak against Chip Kelly and these running backs in that running game. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think both teams are well coached. I think both teams have a lot of talent. Ohio State has more. And I do think that they're, I don't even know if it statistically bears out, but what you would perceive as their ideal strength, which is running the ball with those two running backs and that offensive coordinator, it doesn't pair well with what we've seen so far from Oregon's rush defense. So I'm going to take Ohio State. They're going to control the line of scrimmage to a large extent and be able to run the ball. And with that, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, they're like, both these teams are like really, really talented, but I think Ohio State's uber talented. And Kevin says, what about the home team, other team travel advantage?
I think that's what's keeping it to 3 points. Like, I think if you took these two teams on a neutral field, I think it'd be Ohio State by a touchdown easy. Yes. I still think they'd probably win this by, I don't know. Like, if I had to do a final score prediction, it'd probably be something like 31-24, 31-27, something like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Kevin's saying the travel teams won it. Yeah, we talked about this. And I said, I think this is the week that that trend gets, you know, bucked a little bit. Is it bucked? You buck a trend, right?
You buck a trend, yes.
Yeah, okay. Not bunk, debunk or whatever. It's a like a myth being debunked. Yeah, so this is the third long travel team that I'm taking this week. So we'll see. Maybe I go over three on these. But I feel like this is the week where the spreads would have been a little bit different if you didn't have the travel in there. But I feel like this is a spot for Ohio State to come in. Oregon just hasn't looked, like you said, maybe they were saving up whatever, but Ohio State looks legit. I mean, to play a good Iowa defense last week, they put up 35 points, most of it in the second half, but I you know, and the Chip Kelly factor, yeah. Obviously one of the greatest coaches of our lifetime.
Obviously, very clearly. Look, the man can craft a run game.
I can't believe you're taking Ohio State here.
I got to get out of the Chip Kelly hatred because they've just been killing teams. And honestly, I think my picks for Ohio State have been one of many factors that is absolutely murdering my picks this year. So whatever like my pig brain is saying, I need to go opposite. My pig brain is saying, fuck Chip Kelly, fuck Chip Kelly, fuck Chip Kelly at all times. And so I need to go opposite of that and say, maybe not fuck Chip Kelly.
Ah.
Right?
You go with that. Jim says, did Dave just say Chip was a good coach?
No. I'll deny it.
A good offensive coach?
I'll deny it.
Okay.
Who knows what I said?
Can't wait for this one.
It's a long
time
ago.
The fact that this is on NBC, I wonder if they were pushing, hey, can we put this on Peacock? Like, no, you can't put this on Peacock. So this was one of those things where you have that draft, you know, so Fox gets first pick or whatever.
And fuck it, I can't do it. Oregon. I'm taking Oregon.
Yes! Oh, my God.
I can't.
That's awesome.
They were ferocious.
They're going to be ass. Huge ass. Oregon.
That blast came from the Death Star.
What are we even playing right now?
It's operational.
Ohio State.
Let the hate flow through you.
That's your hatred.
I love how you just silently changed all of those drops from being referencing to Ohio State. They used to be referencing USC, but then you realize Lincoln Riley is just something I saw that was great on Twitter was he's Ozempic Chip Kelly.
Ozempic. Nice.
Yeah.
He gets away from like what wins. Well, I'm very happy for you, David.
Oregon, baby.
Okay.
Roll on, you Ducks.
So you're guaranteed to
go not, Ducks, baby.
Not be catching me this week. So that's good.
I'm catching you.
Kyle. Okay, Kyle has a good point. Let me put this up here. Landing in big games.
Bound to happen sometime, guys. Bound to happen sometime. All right?
How many times did they play Washington?
Look, is Ryan Day, Kalen DeBoer? I don't think so. All right?
Fair.
Yeah? All right.
Fair. I love this.
Look, man, Oregon. Go Ducks.
Sko.
All right. Are we done? No more games to preview?
Oh, wait. No, we have, I think we have one more.
No, I don't think so. You sure?
We do. We have one more. We have
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Take it on.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow. Imagine being the sick, sorry son of a bitch who has to turn off Ohio State, Oregon to turn this piece of shit on. And I know I'm not talking about you, Minnesota fans. I understand you. You have a team that you have hope in. But imagine you're me and I have to watch this one. I cover sports for a living. So you're like, it's not that hard, buddy. But it is. And it sucks sometimes. 6 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Minnesota 3-3, 1-2 in the Big Ten, traveling to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA, which is 1-4, 0-3 in the Big Ten. Minnesota is a 5-point road favorite. Okay, I am in the midst of writing my preview, so I don't have my full. I kind of half-assed the prediction for our friends at the Minnesota site. but I'm not sure if that's going to be my final. Here's what it is. Minnesota has the worst offense that UCLA will have faced since Hawaii. Hawaii's much worse, but Minnesota, of the, you know, opponents that they have faced since then, which is mostly good teams, they've got the worst offense. They've got a pretty good defense, but it's not like amazing. They do one thing really, really well, which is rush the passer, and that leads to a pretty good passing success rate. Rushing success rate, not so good. Offensively, they're a lot better than they were last year, but they're still not good. UCLA's defense, I am prepared to say, is decent. Okay. I don't think it's great, and I think it's fundamentally flawed in one very important way, which is they cannot rush the passer. But the run defense is good. And, you know, when they do get a little bit of pressure, they can make it hard on a quarterback to make throws downfield. They don't allow a ton of explosive plays. So I will say the defense is fine. I think the defense is going to be able to keep Minnesota from scoring, let's say, more than 20. I think Minnesota is going to be held into the teens. The problem, Ryan.
Yes.
Is that I'm not certain of UCLA's ability to score points. I'm still uncertain about that. Against Penn State, it required a junk time drive in the fourth quarter to go above three. Against Oregon, the only touchdown they scored was on defense with a pick six.
UCLA's been good at covering.
They've been really good at covering, and
but
so
this
that's
is a smaller spread.
It's my trepidation. It is 5 points. I mean, they could lose this one by three. I could see like 16 to 13. I could see 17 to 14. I could see something like that.
UCLA, you got them?
You pick first.
I'm taking Minnesota. Okay. And I feel like you're going to get the post-USC bump. Like Wisconsin looked kind of assy. They played USC and then they got a little bump afterwards and they played well. I kind of think Minnesota's going to get some confidence from this win. They stormed the field, played well. I think they come to L.A. And get a dub. So I think they're going to run the ball pretty well in this one.
Yeah, I mean, so Minnesota has two pretty good running backs.
Yeah, that one is, I forget his name.
It's Darius Taylor and then Marcus Major.
Taylor's great. He had like 200 yards in that game and caught a lot of balls from the backfield too.
Taylor's great. And I want to say Marcus Major has kind of gotten a little bit better with each game. He's had a really injury-riddled career, but this is a former four-star who went to Oklahoma. So there's some talent there, and I know he was impressing people before the start of the season. And I want to say, yeah, against USC, he had 37 yards on seven carries. He started against North Carolina, was pretty good in that game. But he's been pretty good this year. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota covers the five. I'm risking being wrong again on UCLA football game. But it wouldn't be the first time.
No. And I feel like a five-point spread, you're not playing – you can't play the cover.
You
really.
Absolutely
you
can.
No, you have to play to win now. Like, if it's that close, if you're trying to keep within 28, you can do things. Like, if you got to keep within five, like, you're trying to win the game. Right?
Yeah, I mean, at some level.
I mean, if it was 0-0, you're never going to try to score. We'll just keep it within the five. That's fine. But I feel like with the 28 points, you're just like, well, we want to.
All right. Deshaun Foster is faced with a 4th-and-9 from the Minnesota 31 down by 8. What does he do?
Ooh.
With 3.5 minutes to
does
go in the
Jonathan
game.
Smith it and kick the field goal?
Does he kick the field goal or does he attempt to go for the touchdown? And let's say he has two timeouts left.
It's because they've has to.
All right, but they have two timeouts left and there's 3.5 minutes left in the game. Does he kick the field goal on 4th-and-9 from the 31 or does he go for it?
You have to go for it.
But if you kick that field goal, you push.
You tie the spread.
You push.
Yeah.
Here's the scary thing is I don't know for sure which way that he would go on that.
We had the one comment last show where they said Dylan Gabriel is like some of the bets are tied to Division Street, so he was shaving points.
Yeah.
Could UCLA's NIL collective be, you know, focused on covering spreads and they're making big bets on the Bruins? I don't know.
The management of UCLA's NIL collective would not be so foolish as to bet on UCLA.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to take Minnesota?
I'm taking Minnesota.
All right. You don't want to change. You can change your mind like you did with the Chip Kelly.
Here's the thing. I think UCLA could actually win this game. I think people are a little bit underselling what UCLA can do defensively. They've continued to play very hard, and I don't think Minnesota is some offensive juggernaut.
Yeah.
Max Brosmer is a lot better than Ethan Calicmanis was last year. That's the big difference. But otherwise, they run the ball pretty well. They ran the ball pretty well last year. Their receivers drop a lot of footballs.
And again, this is a long trip.
It is a long trip.
Coming off a huge, like a huge win.
You're trying to talk me into taking UCLA.
I'm just saying, like a big win. I literally watched them rush the field. Like PJ Fleck went bananas.
But they could be having that, like that. Yeah, they could have that high
or hangover.
Yeah, big old letdown.
Coming to LA.
I can't. I'm not picking UCLA until they show me some kind of life.
They've been covering every week.
Stop it.
They've covered every week. It's outside of Hawaii, right?
Stop it.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Look, I'm going to count on Max Brosmer not shaving points. Max Brosmer, not to implicitly accuse anyone else, but Max Brosmer, that guy, he's not shaving points.
True. But teams 1-8 traveling. I see USC do it twice as road favorites. Bigger spreads than this one. Lost them both. Just saying.
So true.
Yeah. I'm switching my pick, maybe, but I'm not. But I might, but I won't. Okay, why don't we do this? Take a quick break. We'll come back and do some questions. Back in a minute. All righty, we're back here on the podcast of Champions. If you have any questions, if you're in the chat, thanks for doing that. We have a comment about my comment about PJ Fleck. Matthew says, Fleck goes bananas sitting by the pool. That's nothing. Fair enough. Kyle says, longest UCLA preview ever. We talked about it a lot, but that's okay. It's a big, I mean, there's a lot of big games, but I mean, it's hard to get bigger than that one, right? Minnesota and the freaking Rose Bowl.
Honestly, Kyle, what I'm trying to do by talking about UCLA for that long is bring you into my hell where I have to, again, turn off the game that's a top five matchup in Eugene and turn this one on at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I don't have to do that.
Like Ohio State and Oregon, they'll be finishing up the first half. It's going to be like a 17-17 game. One team will be driving, and I'll be like, nope, I got to watch UCLA kick 3 field goals.
Alex, I'm going to give you like a reprieve here if you want to switch your pick. Have you not watched enough bad average team to know the classic script of home win over a ranked team is always followed by a road loss to a cellar dweller?
I know. Here's the thing.
Wow. Is
I think UCLA, until they do something besides beating a horrible Hawaii team, I just can't imagine they will be coached well enough to win. Like, I just have not seen it yet. Once I see it, maybe my picks will change about this whole thing, but I can't do it. And the only way they're covering 5 is if they win this game.
Hmm. What did Hawaii do?
They suck.
They beat Delaware State.
Uh-huh.
They lost UCLA. They lost to Sam Houston. They beat Northern Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Is that one of the better Iowas?
That's an FCS school.
Oh. And they lost to San Diego State.
A very bad San Diego State team.
Okay. All right. I mean, I like the point.
Mean, Ashton Gentry is going to run for about 700 yards on him this weekend.
Oh, on Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so important factor here. If this is a close loss, maybe UCLA covers, maybe it's 7 points or something like that, and Purdue gets like murder stomped again, How can Purdue get the coveted 18th spot?
I'll tell you this. If UCLA wins this weekend, they will no longer be 18th.
Well, yeah, they're going to get a win. What if it's a close loss versus blowout again for Purdue?
A close loss at home to a 3-3 Minnesota team? I'm sorry. No. UCLA will remain 18th.
Really?
Yeah, they're anchored to it. I'm sorry. Those are the rules. I looked it up in the bylaws.
Okay. Sorry, Purdue fans, if you really wanted
Purdue, if you wanted excellence, I don't know. You should have relocated to Los Angeles and been the team I cover.
All right. I think we only have one question.
All right. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, you go ahead. I've been talking a lot.
This is from Ryan, not you, but a different one. Uncovered battle. Good morning. Given your position as the foremost experts on Big Ten football, as well as your rapidly expanding knowledge of West Coast ball, you two are uniquely qualified to offer us humble listeners perspective on this undiscussed battle of Oregon fans versus Ohio State fans and who will take the crown as most obnoxious. Oregon and the Ohio State each easily took the crown in years past with their respective conferences, and it seems that this year, as with their actual football teams, the Buckeyes have the advantage. What do the Duck faithful need to do this weekend to solidify themselves as the most annoying fans and let other teams know that they're the ones you roll your eyes at? Thank you, Ryan. So here's what I'll say is Ohio State fans have gone out of their way to find our content even prior to us becoming a Big Ten show to say stupid things. The people in our comments on our YouTube page who never seem like they're in on the joke and are just saying obnoxious fan things, I'm not saying it's universally Ohio State, but it's a lot of Ohio State. So they are obvious contenders here. Oregon in football is, we long considered them probably one of the, and when I say worst, I mean best. I mean, you know, in that way, the worst fan base in the Pac-12 in football. In basketball, it's obviously our friends in Tucson. but in football, obviously the worst and super obnoxious and, you know, mean, not gracious. You know, the whole thing. Hostile environment, Autzen Stadium. That's a real battle in this one. And I think Ohio State fans, are they going to be ready for the naked hostility that can be brought in Eugene, Oregon? You know, Central, this is getting down into Central Oregon. We'll call it Central Oregon.
Okay.
Central Oregon's no joke. They get fired up down there.
Yeah.
So, gosh, that's a really unheralded battle here that I'm excited to see. And we'll obviously, we'll be able to have a better sense of the overall fan bases in the Big Ten within a couple of years. We got to get used to them. I would say right now, just my general assessment, the fan bases who seem to get our show the best, who seem to enjoy it the most, Minnesota,
for sure.
They love it. Rutgers. Every time I post one of these threads on the Rutgers board, they're like commenting because they get it. And I would say to an extent, Nebraska and Iowa.
Okay.
The rest still don't really know. I don't know as much. But I would say Ohio State probably the least at this moment.
Okay. Yeah, the two road trips I've taken to see opponent fans, both have been nice. I think the Michigan fans and the Minnesota fans are like nice. You know, there's like just not a lot of bad blood there. I would say to compare what I've been to Ohio State. And we, you know, there's a reputation. Certainly the Oregon thing, we know that pretty well. I think it's kind of comparing apples and oranges, David, because Ohio State fans can be very obnoxious. And we get a lot of them that live here in Southern California. So you don't even need to travel much to see that. But they also have winning behind it, where Oregon's a different obnoxious because it's obnoxious where you're like winning adjacent, but you're not like having any big, you know, there's not national championships there or things, that kind of tradition. It's more, it's like new money. So I think it's hard to compare. It'd be easier if Oregon had won some stuff. Maybe they go, if they win this game and they win like the Big Ten and Oregon wins a national championship this year, now I think you could make a more even comparison.
Yeah.
I think that would make them pretty freaking obnoxious though for already. Like yeah. To be that obnoxious without the, like the championships.
You mean with the zero?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a question in the chat.
Oh, hold on. Kyle said, Michigan fans were great in Seattle last week. I feel the history. Both programs have a lot of respect for one another. Yeah. I felt like that was the same way when USC went out there. Kyle is saying my point. At least Ohio State has natties to be obnoxious. Oregon fan bases are identical. Okay. So the Alex question is what you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. Basketball question.
I haven't looked. Basketball question. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me look at it. You want here? You can read it if you want.
This is from Alex. Basketball question to throw Dave a bone. Besides the obvious of Bill Walton, who will you miss calling UCLA games now that we're no longer on the Pac-12 Network or ESPN? I miss Dave Pasch already. Well, I have good news for you, Alex. Aside from Bill Walton, who obviously is sadly departed, there's no Dave Pasch, but that's a win because Dave Pasch sucks. He was always horrible on those broadcasts. He really was the worst part of those broadcasts. Yeah, like not even in on the joke sometimes. Wouldn't take it when somebody was making fun of him for something real. Like, it just not good. The Big Ten Network has hired a bunch of the Pac-12 talent. So
yes,
guys like Don McLean, Eldridge Rakasner, J.B. Long, all those guys are going over to the Big Ten Network. So I would imagine the same cast of characters that covered UCLA on the Pac-12 Network will be the ones who cover the Big Ten Network games. Now, the Big Fox games, I could see it being like whoever their A crew is, so it'll be different people. For the Big Ten Network games, I would imagine it's going to be the same kind of local crowd as has been the case for years past. So I think you're still going to get Don McLean, who has grown on me over the years. I used to kind of hate him and thought he was boring, but he's gotten better and better. And I think for the Northwestern folks, Eldridge or Kasner is still going to be doing games.
Does Gus Johnson do basketball still?
He hasn't done basketball in a hot minute. I don't know if he's going to do, because Fox hasn't, I could be wrong. I don't know that they've carried too many games in the recent past.
But they will now, I think.
Now that they're carrying a lot more games, maybe he will do some marquee ones. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions? Oh,
yeah, Matthew. Oh, well, he has a quiz.
Okay.
He says, where do you think UCLA ranks in the former Pac-12 for FPI? I don't have access to SP Plus. I won't spoil this one.
All right. FPI is the ESPN analytics system. All right. So the ones that are ahead in the old Pac-12, obviously Oregon, obviously USC, obviously Utah, obviously both Arizonas, obviously Colorado, Washington, obviously. Who else am I missing?
Okay,
Stanford and Cal. Stanford and Cal. So Cal's obviously better. Stanford could be worse.
Washington State, Oregon State.
Washington State's better. I'm going to say they are 10th ahead of Stanford and Oregon State. Is that correct, Matthew? Please
answer.
Final
answer.
Please answer. Well, while we're waiting for his answer, because this is on a delay,
yeah.
Is there another question?
Tony says he does basketball. So I guess he does do basketball.
Okay, great.
So Gus Johnson. Yeah, he was with CBS for a long time. Then Fox hired him.
Yeah.
And he was doing football. But he was amazing at CBS basketball.
Do we have any takes on Utah? This is from Kevin. Do we have any takes on Utah versus ASU or Arizona versus BYU for legacy POC listeners?
Oh, was that an older one? I missed that.
No, it's on the most recent page. It's right before Matthew says Genty's amazing. You got to go into live chat. You got to get out of top chat.
Well, no, but I'm like looking at. Here we go.
It's a little bit older.
Yeah. Okay, yes. That's all I want to know. If it was like just coming out, takes a second. I put it up there for you.
All right. Any takes on Utah versus ASU? Yeah, Cam Rising. He might play.
I can't do it anymore.
Who knows?
Kevin, I can't talk about Cam Rising playing or not playing.
Wow. All right. So Stanford is apparently the only one worse than UCLA. UCLA is behind Oregon State.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know if Cam Rising is going to play, so that infects things. I will say Sam Levitt's legit, and ASU is very, very well coached, so I would take ASU.
Wow.
To win. And then Arizona versus BYU. Arizona's looked like dog shit, so I'm going to go with BYU.
Yeah, BYU's looked pretty good. I think Arizona had a good game.
Brent Brennan is not a good coach.
Ah. Matthew. Okay.
It's also at Arizona State on Friday night. What do you think that environment's going to be?
Yeah, that's going to be freaking insane.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And Arizona's going at BYU.
Yeah, so I'll take both home teams like you said.
Yeah.
I put the wrong one up, but it was Matthew's comment. Stanford's the only one worse than the FPI. Okay, so should we have Stanford as the 12th ranked team, or it's still UCLA?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, they're anchored. I already told you.
Stanford did win at Syracuse.
That's right.
Okay, so we got a lot of road.
Is Syracuse better than Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, we got a lot of fun games this weekend. We will see if the curse of the two time zone travel deal is broken. I think I'm predicting it to be broken a few times. We'll see. But there's some good teams going on the road. Will they falter? We will see. But I think that's it. Anything else?
That's it. That's all.
Oh, wait. Real quick one. Kyle, is Kalen DeBoer coaching in Bama in 2 years?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to still bank on his track record. He wins games. He just wins games, except if he's playing Vandy. And even that game, I think they were 97% post-game win expectancy in that one.
Yeah.
That's some shitty luck.
Shit happens.
So I'm going to say weird loss, but ultimately he's probably going to win, I don't know, 10 games regular season this year, win probably 10 games again next year. Hard to imagine them firing him if he's consistently winning double digits, and I can't imagine him not.
Yeah, I mean, he just beat freaking Georgia the week before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they got to figure out defense because you can't be giving up 40 to Vandy. But
right. And they gave up a lot to Georgia late in the game. But still, yeah I think he's going to be there. There's some fan, like that one guy wrote into Paul or called into Feinbaum and said, it's like your wife sleeping with your neighbor, like, you can let her back in the house, but you could never forgive her. You never forget. And it's just like, holy crap. So if he goes and wins the national championship, you're not going to forget that he lost to Vandy once. He could win it this year. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, people are crazy.
But that, I mean, they've been so good for so long. Their expectations are through the roof. Like if you gave up more than 14 points to Vandy, they'd like fire him, you know?
Yep.
All right, well, let's go wrap it up. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Oh, actually, did you see my hat?
It's just a little something for...
Do you want to point to your right, I think?
This way?
Yeah, but up. That'll be our screenshot. This has nothing to do with the Zodiac Killer, but I've been getting more emails from my friends at this government agency. And Zodiac Killer, we want to send you that gift card. We'll send you two. Just give us your address. That's what the... agency is going to throw in an extra gift card.
So. Yeah, they'll send a little something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that'll wrap it up. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.